for today comes from the book of John 5:10-15. That's John chapter 5, verses 10 through 15, which can be found in the New Testament on page 96 in the Pew Bible. Listen now to God's word to you today. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who expected to hear Pastor Bob preach this morning, surprise. And that gives you an extra week to, you know, do your studies in Acts 10. Is that where we, okay. Instead, today we're going to turn to John chapter 5 for a story of healing. Today's narrative takes place well into the ministry of the man named Jesus. Jesus has been traveling and performing signs in Galilee, Jerusalem, and Judea. In John's gospel, he has changed water into wine. He's met secretly in the middle of the night with a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews named Nicodemus, who said, "We know you are a teacher who has come from God." And in the noonday heat at a well, he asked for a drink of water from a woman who was looking for the Messiah. After Jesus identifies himself, "I am he," the woman runs to share the good news with her people, the Samaritans, who identify Jesus as the Savior of the world. Then, back in Galilee, he heals the son of a Roman official who became a believer along with all of his household. Sometime after all of this, we don't know how long, we pick up the narrative in chapter 5 of John. Guess what? He's back in Jerusalem. Jesus is. Let's read together the word of God in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool called Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we are here today to receive what you want to reveal to yourself, to us, about yourself and about your Son, Jesus. Shine your light of understanding on your word and in our hearts. Amen. We have learned that Jesus has returned to Jerusalem for a festival of the Jews and is walking beside a pool at the sheep gate, Bethesda. Now, at this pool, there's that word porticos. I guess we're familiar with that. It sounds a lot like the word we think of, porch, and it's colonnades and a porch that is sort of covered between these pools. Not too long ago, in recent history, there was some excavation work done near the sheep gate, and they discovered twin pools there. So that would make five porticos if you go around the outside of all of them and then down through the center. So it's very likely that that is where this pool was. This is not just any pool, however, because it is surrounded by people who are suffering physically. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they're all waiting to be healed. Why? Why are they there? It is believed that the waters of this pool have a supernatural power to heal. In fact, you may have noticed, if you were looking along at the verse numbers, that there is no verse 4 in John 1 to 9. Did you notice that? This is because it is recognized that verse 4 is not found in the earliest, most reliable manuscripts and was likely added as an explanation for the lame man's answer to Jesus in verse 7 when he says that he couldn't get down to the water first. In what it says in that verse that was inserted comes after verse 3 where it says paralyzed, that the paralyzed were there. It says, waiting for the stirring of the water, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. So an explanation of why those people are all waiting there. Meanwhile, Jesus, the Creator, the Word of God, is walking unrecognized through this mass of suffering people. Jesus, who possesses the true power to heal, stops right in front of a certain man. Why does Jesus choose this man? We're not told. This particular man, chosen by Jesus, is unnamed in the gospel, and it doesn't seem that he even knows who Jesus is. Nevertheless, Jesus has found and chosen him, and he stops right there in front of a lame man who has been lying on the ground on a mat for 38 years. That length of time would indicate that his illness, whatever the cause, is a permanent illness. Anyone who has spent time in a hospital for any length or in a hospital bed can tell you that it doesn't take long for muscle tissue to weaken and break down. It takes exercise, time, and therapy to regain the muscle mass you need to support your body. In this case, after 38 years, there was no longer hope for a cure. At this point of the miracle story, the setting has been delineated and the characters introduced. Let's look at verse 6, where the healing will begin. Here we read, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, but wait, before we get to Jesus' question, let's go back to look at one word in the first part of this verse, the word that is translated new in the NRSV. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time. If you have a different translation, you may find the word that is in the Greek gnus translated as learned. In the NIV, for example, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. That seems to imply that Jesus asked someone about the man. This is the same Jesus who in the first chapter of John saw Nathanael under a fig tree when Jesus was nowhere near Nathanael. The same Jesus who knew that the woman at the well had had 5 husbands. I'm thinking this Jesus knew that this lame man had been lying by the pool for 38 years and didn't need to ask anyone else for the information. Back to Jesus' question. Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Edward Clink argues for the translation, do you want to become well? That word in the Greek, made or become, is used by John, especially in the prologue of his gospel, to represent the creative work of God in the world, which seems to bring a grander, wider sense to this story, doesn't it? It's sort of an odd question, though, that Jesus asks. Do you want to be made well? Of course the man wants to get well. That's why he's there, right? By the pool with the healing waters? We might think his answer would be, oh, yes. Or, yes, of course, that's why I'm here. But his answer, too, is rather curious. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. I wonder if the lame man thinks that Jesus is accusing him of not trying hard enough, or making excuses, not really wanting to get well. Or does he think that Jesus might be the one to help him get into the water first? That's an idea. If so, he is totally misunderstanding Jesus' ability and is relying upon what he thinks will make him well. His presuppositions seem to be getting in the way of his vision, for Jesus, the healer, is standing right before him. Either way, whether he thinks Jesus is accusing him or might be helpful to him, the lame man doesn't really answer Jesus' question, does he? Do you want to be made well? What do you want? There's abundant evidence that healing shrines with water were a regular component of pagan religions. So in a sense, this is a competition between these healing waters and Jesus. Do you want to be made well? Basically, the man's answer is, I want or I need to get into the water to be made well. But Jesus, the living water, commands the man, stand up, take your mat, and walk. It is simple and clear. Do you want to be made well? Obey my command. At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. He did not need days of recovery. He was made well at once. He was no longer too weak from all those years of lying down to pick up his mat and carry it. He did not need weeks or months of physical therapy. At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Notice that never again in this story is he called the lame man. He is now the man. Jesus initiated this healing miracle, and unlike many of the other miracles in the gospel accounts that reward the faith of the person who is healed, this lame man has demonstrated no faith. Actually, I'm wrong. He did demonstrate faith, but in the wrong thing. Faith in the waters of the pool, not in Jesus. This miracle story has a victory, but it does not end here. There is something more happening. Eight simple words, actually it's seven in the Greek, at the end of verse 9, move the narrative from a miracle story to a conflict. Now that day was a Sabbath, signals a rising conflict, from geography to time, from place to time. In the very next verse, the reader hears the Jewish leaders accuse the healed man of violating the Sabbath by carrying his mat. Never mind that for 38 years he laid on that mat, unable to carry it, or that he had been given a new identity by the healer. The man was now a mat carrier. Earlier we saw that the mat carrier was focused on the pool's waters, not on Jesus and his healing power. Here we see the same with the Jewish leaders, who are focused on the perceived Sabbath violation rather than Jesus' divine power. How often are we focused on the wrong place or thing, thinking that it will be the answer to our problems or be just what we need? How often have we missed the miracles of God, the personalized love of Jesus as he pursues us? When Jesus, the living water, finds you, stops right in front of you and asks, what do you want? Do you want to be made well? What will our answer be? Will we find an excuse? I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. Or will we open ourselves up to the transforming power of the Word of God, Jesus Christ? Will we place a limit on that power? I'm willing to go this far and no farther. Remember, we are in a season of miracles in this church. We are praying each day, every day, for specific miracles that will take place, for your miracle, and your miracle, and your miracle, and his miracle, and her miracle. Are we going to place a limit on the transforming power of Jesus Christ? How dare we? Our God is a God of surprises. If you don't mind, close your eyes for just a moment and imagine. How do you picture God? Sitting up in heaven, on a throne surrounded by singing cherubim and seraphim? Lots of clouds and smoke? Now that you have that picture, open your eyes, because our God is a God who saves a baby floating down a river in a basket and later appears to the grown man in a burning bush. Our God is a God who is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, who speaks not in thunder, but in a still, small voice. Our God is a God who hears cries and rescues, who laughs with us, who delights in us, who surprises us. Well, just take one look at God's creation this spring. What do you see besides rain? What do you see? Lightning bugs, for instance. Now, there's some imagination, lightning bugs. That same God steps down to earth wrapped in human skin and lives here among us. Do we read John 5, 1 to 9 as just another miracle story? Ho-hum. It's not even as exciting as some, like Jesus walking on water or raising Lazarus, bringing him back to life. Here's another oddity. Does this man even say thank you to Jesus or ask Jesus his name before he walks off into the sunset? In Acts, you'll remember the lame beggar, lame from birth, carried daily to the beautiful gate on his own mat. He leaps to his feet when he's healed, and he shouts thanks to God for days. Not so here. This is different. Maybe that's why Jesus searches out the mat carrier again. This is a two-part story. Jesus is not finished with this mat carrier. Earlier in the first scripture reading, Joyce read some of part two of this story. If we read on, we discover that Jesus seeks the cured man out again for a conversation about spiritual healing. In fact, Jesus has a similar conversation with the Pharisees. His message is not for this man alone, but for all. John 5, 1 to 18 is a two-part story in several ways. Today we looked at the first part. Jesus sought this man and healed his body of a permanent physical ailment immediately with three commands. The man was changed. He was moved from lameness to mat carrying. He became a mat carrier. We are celebrating the seventh Sunday of Easter. Deep into this Easter season, we are invited to remember that God is still moving, interceding, providing, transforming. John has included a water theme in his gospel. Indeed, every chapter up to and including this one incorporates water. Creation and baptism in the first chapter. Water changed into wine in the second. Jesus tells Nicodemus in the third that he must be born of water and the Spirit. In the fourth, Jesus shares his message that he is the living water with the Samaritan woman at Joseph's well. Here in chapter 5, there is a pool of healing water where we learn that Jesus is greater than the power of any water. Jill Duffield puts it this way. The river of life flows between heaven and earth, makes a way for healing in and around pools. Duffield asks, have you said with utter honesty or frustration, I can't get where I need to go? Only to discover that God meets you where you are and then sends you in an altogether new way. When we come to the end of our own strength, and I think this past week particularly of the veterans and their families who have experienced coming to the end of their strength. And today, the graduates, Brett and Laura, our senior citizens, as all of us and all of them will be using all of their strength on new journeys. When we come to the end of our own strength and are made to lie down, it is then that we may be given a peek into the very womb of God where a rebirth is possible, where a fresh regrouping of all that our lives have been suddenly comes into focus. Right here, in this place on Sabbath mornings when there are baptisms, the river of life will flow around baptismal waters where saving grace is proclaimed. God meets us where we could be, where we are. Could this be the day when the same place you've always been is invaded by the saving power of Jesus Christ? The river of life overflowing into the streets of your life. Could this be the day that Jesus Christ asks you, what do you want? Do you want to be made well? How will you answer? Perhaps you'll ask Jesus, what do you want, Lord? Almighty giver and restorer of life, when we are presented with an opportunity for healing, let us not find an excuse for remaining as we are, but let us trust and obey the one who asks us in love, do you want to be healed? And who commands us to arise and walk in the newness of life. In the name of the one who is our living water, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.